Don't be afraid of technology, Bill.
It does scare me a little bit, I'll be honest.
Some of it does. Some of it makes life so much fun and a big time suck, if I can say.
Yeah, that's accurate.
You lose a lot of valuable, productive time by just goofing around in the technological world. On the line with us right now is Kevin Kelly, who co-founded Wired Magazine in 1993, served as its executive editor until 1999, and has now written a book called The Inevitable, Understanding the 12 Technological Forces That Will Shape Our Future. Kevin, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I have been a subscriber to Wired Magazine for quite some time. I'm a bit of a gadget girl, and it's kind of like a cool, hip, trendy, like Rolling Stone of the technology world, isn't it?
Yes, it's not really about the technology. It's about the culture of technology.
Right.
Like Rolling Stone's about the culture of music.
Exactly. So tell us about The Inevitable, because I'm kind of... I'm computer literate. I'm not completely crazy about it, but I know how to do code. I know how to put websites together. Bill, on the other hand, have you figured out how to use your phone yet?
Not yet, no. I'm getting there. Be patient, Kevin. I'll get there.
Is your VRC still blinking?
Yes,
VCR.
My VCR. Ah, we know more than Kevin. Yeah, it's a VCR, and it's always midnight at my house.
Or noon.
Or noon, I don't know.
Or noon, right. So I think actually one of the things that technology is good for is wasting time. I think wasting time is actually one of the chief benefits that it gives us, is that we are really good. Humans are really good at wasting times. What robots are really good at are being efficient and productive. And anything that we can figure out that we want to measure in terms of productivity or efficiency, we're going to give to the bots, to the artificial intelligences.
This is a stupid question, but you know the little vacuum that goes around your room, Roomba? I mean, wasn't that kind of one of the first, like, robot-type things that you could purchase? So it can vacuum, and now they have one that washes your floors? If they had one that makes dinner, I would purchase it in a minute.
Exactly, or do your laundry.
Yeah.
I think that's where we're headed, slowly. But I think... a lot of the artificial intelligence that we're going to experience will be much more in a kind of digital remote side where we'll be speaking to them. They'll be doing work behind the scenes. I think doing work in their bodies is a real challenge because of the issue of batteries. Batteries haven't kept up with the exponential growth of all these other things. They're way behind. And just keeping them powered. The problem with the Internet of Things is all those batteries that you have to replace. So I think that part is going to be a little slower, but the AIs that you talk to that drive your car, that work in the factories, that drive trucks, those are where they're going to make the most difference in our lives.
We were, Bill and I often talk about the Jetsons, and when you watched that when you were a little kid, you thought, oh my God, the future is going to be like that with the moving sidewalks.
Car in a suitcase. Oh. When you're done with your car, you just fold it up.
Genius. Yeah. And there are so many parking issues. Yeah. Are we ever going to see something close to that?
Yes, I think we are. I think having an AI drive you around so that you can sleep or put your VR on in the car is going to be...
All right, wait. AI, artificial intelligence, VR, virtual reality. Some of us are not as hip to all this, so...
Right. So we're going to have the auto-driven car. There will be a robo car that has an AI in it that drives for you. And the question is, what do you do with all that time if you're not having to drive? Well, you're going to use it as an office, or you're going to put on the goggles and you'll have virtual reality where you're in another world, or your play, or it'll be virtual screens. And that's really where we're going. There'll be more bandwidth, more connection to your car than to your home. And so that's within 5 years. We know that because Tesla already has a version of it. Where you can turn off the switch while you're on a highway and sleep if you want.
Kevin, you're an expert at this. Is the pace by which we're advancing with technology about what it should be? Or are we moving faster than you thought we would, or not as fast?
Well, I let's talk about virtual reality, which I had experience 25 years ago. The guy who invented it showed me and brought me in, and we shared a world together, and I was amazed, and I was convinced that it was going to happen in 5 years. It didn't happen in 5 years. It took 25 years, in part because it turned out that that initial demos cost $1 million in today's money.
Yeah.
And so it was just too expensive. But then we invented smartphones, and all these little tiny tricky things were reduced to a little chip that ran on a very small battery, which is in your cell phone. And that same technology is now in VR, and now it's only a couple $100. And so that's been the change, is it's now cheap enough to improve fast. And so it's slow, but then it kind of slow, then it's an overnight success,
right,
after
sure.
20 years.
I'm not that old, all right? I'm over 50, all right, I'll give you that. But when I was in high school and you had like a computer, what was it, a data processing class, I think it was called.
Right.
And we had the punch cards that
yeah.
really all we did was punch various little designs so we could make a portrait with it of something. And then you look at the size of the computer that read these little punch cards, and it's just so amazing to me in those 30 years.
How far we've come.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Everything is so tiny and so fast. My only fear with all of this, Kevin, is with artificial intelligence and virtual reality, is this going to completely eliminate personal relationships and intimate contact?
Well, that was, you know, the very same fear that we had at the beginning of the Internet, you know, say 25, 30 years ago. People imagined that with everybody kind of sitting in front of a green screen typing in their basement, that was the end of face-to-face relationships. But the curious thing happened, which was the amount of travel has actually increased as the Internet increased as well. So we discovered that very early on. We made the first public access to the Internet in 1984. And the first thing that happened was all these people meeting online were compelled to meet face-to-face. It just made meeting face-to-face even more valuable to them. And I think that while we have virtual reality worlds where people spend a lot of time meeting each other in these avatars and sharing these kind of weird places, that will actually demand or increase or compel us to meet face-to-face or be in the physical world, because it becomes actually more amazing to us after you've left this virtual world. We realize, oh my gosh, the real world is really cooler.
Isn't that crazy? That's so funny to me. Here's something my daughter said, Kevin, see if this makes sense to you. She said, you know how, of course, how texting is the rage. That's what everybody just wants to text. Nobody wants to talk to each other. So my daughter said, if it had been the other way around, if they had invented texting first, we'd all be amazed that you can pick up a phone and dial some numbers and actually talk to somebody. You don't have to press any buttons.
Right,
you can actually
right,
talk
exactly.
to them. And that's true, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I said the same thing about like a book. You know, if they had invented e-books first, you
yeah.
know, Kindle, and that's all we had, and then someone came up with this paper book, you'd say, that's amazing. No batteries.
Right. Self-contained.
Know, random access. It's self-contained. It's like, this is an incredible technology.
Right.
We've got Kevin Kelly
yeah,
on the
line. We're often blind.
Yeah.
Kevin Kelly on the line. The book is called The Inevitable, Understanding the 12 Technological Forces That Will Shape Our Future. It is, I love texting, though. I mean, look what preceded it. It was emails. And to this day, I sometimes wait to respond to my emails, and then they get lost in my 63,000 emails that are on my iPhone right now. But with a text, you get an immediate answer. So I am a big fan of texting.
I think we have an insatiable appetite for the instant, and that's why we see these things like Uber spring up, because we take something like a taxi cab, we add, you know, instant on demand, and then we have Uber. And so that impulse to want to have access to things instantly is almost never ending. And we've just begun in kind of this on demand economy. I think we're going to really move from owning things to accessing things if we can get them on demand, which is what we want. So, you know, Amazon's, we're talking about a 2-hour delivery time with drones or whatever. So we're going to see even more of that, where we want things instant because that's how we live. We're instant beings.
Absolutely. Instant gratification.
That's all we care about. Kevin, do you think at some point, this is the stuff of science fiction, but do you think we'll have chips implanted in us, computers somehow implanted in our brains? Is that the reality of the future?
Well, you know, I'm really optimistic about the future, but I hope I'm dead before that happens.
Oh, yeah.
Not me. I mean, I don't mind putting, I've tried the brain machine interface. It's kind of like a little bicycle helmet that you wear and control a computer that way. But I don't have any tattoos or piercings. And so it's like that's kind of the last thing I want to do. But I don't mind wearing something that would do that. I'm just biologically a little conservative that way.
That makes sense. It does seem a little much, doesn't it?
But it will, you know, it will happen. I'm sure there is a set of people who don't mind that, and they will be the first to do it. I do think that we are a long ways away from really understanding how the body works and being able to kind of hack the body.
Yeah,
that's maybe another 30 or 40 years away. So most of the stuff I'm talking about in the next 20 to 30 years is still in this area where we have wearables. And so we're wearing these things, and so I think having things close to the skin is as far as we got. You know, we made big computers. There were machines on the floor, and then they crawled onto our desks, and then they crawled into our lap, and now they're in a pocket. The next thing will be against our skin. I think it's a big step before we let them under our skin.
I'm looking at the comments on the back, and you have a lot of people that are in the tech world, and then you have musician and composer Brian Eno, who I'm a huge fan of, and you're friends with him? I mean, obviously technology is going to help its way into the music business as well. We have to embrace technology and not be afraid of it.
Exactly, and Brian actually said something that, you know, he was very frustrated with all this. He kind of invented electronic music, but he was really frustrated by the interface to electronic music was like buttons and sliders, and he wanted to have something where he could use his whole body, kind of dance, and that's sort of where we're going with the interfaces in virtual reality, is that you can use your entire body, your gestures, your hands, your voice to interact with our technology. So I think if I was making a science fiction film about someone working on the computer in the next 30 years, I would be having them having sign language and talking. That's how we're going to interface with these things. It's not just the fingertips on a keyboard.
The whole world's turning into Tron right before our eyes. This is awesome.
So Adele will actually be Adele at some point. Is that possible? That's crazy. That's a crazy future, Kevin.
I think we have to believe in the impossible much more often. I mean, you think about the Wikipedia. That is impossible. There's no way that could work. There's no way some 12-year-old in Jakarta could alter the entry in George Washington and us find it useful, but it works. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It's impossible, and there it is. So I think we have to get better at believing the impossible.
Well, let's pretend it's 2046, because it will be someday, the inevitable, understanding the 12 technological forces that will shape our future. Kevin Kelly, thank you so much for talking to us.
It's really been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Kevin. A quick break. More show coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.